It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Smith back to throw. Has time over the middle. Intercepted by Roll again. Antrell to the 20. Needs a block. Pinball down to the 5. Roll call time. Antrell with back-to-back picks.
Manning back to throw. Steps up. Deep ball down the middle of the field.
He's got Cruz. 35, 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants.
Romo drops straight back to throw. Steps up. Gets hit by Canty.
Pass intercepted by Jason Pierre-Paul. To the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Giants.
There goes Wilson again. Trying to break to the outside. Wilson cuts it back to his right, needs a block, and Wilson's going to go. He's to the 10, 5, touchdown Giants, 97 yards.
Now here are your hosts, John Schmelk and Lance Meadow.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com, 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513, hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. Tell us what you think about the 2013 NFL Draft. It has arrived, and in a blink of an eye, it is over. The Giants have added 7 new players to their organization and their team. Talk about all of that and more. 201-939-4513. We're joined by Lance Meadow to do a little wrap on this draft. Lance, good morning. How are you?
Doing well, John. How about yourself?
Doing well. Doing well. How
busy
was your weekend?
Oh, it was busy, as usual, and busy for you as well.
No
question. I know you made a little appearance at Radio City Music Hall. That's why all the barricades were up on 6th Avenue.
Well, the red carpet was really down just for me.
Absolutely. That goes without saying. But they kept crowd control quite well.
Well, you know, I like dealing with the little people sometimes, but sometimes it can get a little overwhelming. I like to be in my little bubble and not be bothered by the masses.
And the NFL upped security this weekend, so you were certainly in good hands.
I was in very good hands. And so was Paul Dottino, by the way.
Well, I mean, Paul Dottino's in a whole other atmosphere, I would say.
He can walk past quickly anybody that tries to get after him anyway.
Yes. He's very sneaky. And I'm sure he's excited now that he can analyze 7 picks for the next 3 weeks.
Well, let's take a look at the first one first, and that's Justin Pugh. To me, it's a solid pick. Is it spectacular? No, only because the guys that could have been there to make it a spectacular pick weren't there. And that's kind of how the draft board falls sometimes. He's not the best athlete in the world, but he's smart. He knows his angles. He's a good football player. He's versatile. He can play all 5 offensive line positions. To me, he's like a young David Deal, except probably a little bit more talented considering he's a first-round pick. Deal was only a 5th-round selection. So, to me, it's a good, solid pick, one that the Giants needed. He could step in and start as early as this year.
I agree. I think the thing that jumps off the page with respect to Justin Pugh is what you basically outlined was the fact that he could play all 5 positions. To have an offensive lineman who has that type of experience and that type of versatility, it's hard to find that, regardless of whether it's round 1 or round 7. And given the injury history that the Giants have had to deal with over the last couple of seasons, it does not hurt that they can have a guy that maybe they'll start off at a tackle. But in a pinch, if a guard goes down or a center goes down, he has the comfort level that he can take over either of those 2 other positions. Look at Kevin Booth, for example. You know, he's another offensive lineman that's been moved around over the course of his career. Now you basically have 2 guys that you can mix and match with. So that's a big positive for the Giants. And just like free agency, John, you know, sometimes the name doesn't wow you. But once you see them on the field and you see that they're a hard worker and you can use them in a variety of different ways, that's all that matters. It's not about name notoriety when it comes to the draft or when it comes to free agency, because oftentimes we've seen big-name players sign with teams and sign big mega contracts, and it backfires on a team. It doesn't necessarily always work out that way.
I want to throw one of the guys into the mix, too, in terms of versatility, and that's James Brewer. He played right tackle last year. He played guard last year. So I think you're almost going to have a 4-way competition between Pugh, Deal, Booth, and Brewer for 2 offensive line spots. I don't think either of those line spots are 100% secure. I think Kevin Booth more likely than not will be the starter at guard. But I think you'll have a competition. They'll use Pugh at both spots, see where he's most comfortable, see where he's going to be the best player. And then, you know, down the road, remember, David Boss is up there. He makes a lot of money. Maybe next year if the Giants move on from him, you can move Booth over to center. He's played there before. If Pugh can play center, that's an option. So it really gives the Giants a lot of flexibility here moving forward.
And that's why when you draft players, as you just alluded to, John, you're not just thinking this season. You're thinking 2014 and beyond, because other guys are going to hit the free agent market, and then you may be left with another void. Maybe a kid like Pugh could come in and answer the call in another position somewhere that you never anticipated.
Well, and who knows how long Chris Neen's going to play, too. I mean, this is a guy that's had a couple surgeries. He's up there in age. He's still a very good player. But, you know, it's something that can change as we go along. And that's another reason, I think, and we'll talk about it when we talk about our two defensive line picks in a second, that you're not drafting for this year. You're drafting, and certainly when they pick the quarterback, you're drafting for the future.
Absolutely. And that's why I think a guy like Justin Pugh may not necessarily fill an immediate void this year, but down the road, if there's some movement on this offensive line, whether it's through free agency or trades, in a pinch, they can use him in multiple spots. And that's a big advantage for a team that has to deal with teams that are now presenting big, ferocious defensive lines. You want to be able to protect your quarterback. It hasn't necessarily been a long-term issue for the Giants, but the last thing you want to be is in a position where you put an inexperienced guy in one of those spots. And I don't think the Giants are in that position right now.
201-939-4513. You can call us, tell us what you think about the Giants draft, or you can send in your messages on Twitter to hashtag Giants Chat. Let's go to Enrique in New Jersey. Enrique, good morning. How you doing, pal?
Enrique, are you there?
Hello, Enrique. There he goes.
Sorry.
Enrique didn't want to hold on. No
patience. Man of very few words this morning.
Apparently. 201-939-4513. I want to go to, and I think Marcus Erickson makes a good point on Twitter here at hashtag Giants Chat. I like what we got, but the more I watch the draft, the more I realize I know nothing about any of these prospects really. And that's certainly the case for fans, and I think, quite frankly, I know, you know, people don't like to hear this because it kind of destroys their illusion of how this process works and how they think it's a science. Even the people that draft these guys only know so much about them. They've watched their games. They've watched them on tape. They've done all the homework they can. They've talked to their, you know, family maybe, the guy who worked with them at the college, the coaches, the players. But trying to predict how a 19- or 20-year-old is going to react to getting a big million-dollar contract coming in, how he's going to deal living in a whole new city for the first time, really living as an adult, managing money, you know, getting a house, doing all that by himself for the first time, this thing's really a crapshoot. It's an educated crapshoot, but you're really just rolling the dice here and hoping these guys work out.
Well, and there's a lot of subjectivity involved, John, like anything else in sports or in anything else in the world. You know, what the Giants look at a prospect, another team may look at it a different way. And that's why the rankings fluctuate so much. This was a draft, and you talked about this right at the beginning of the show, where about 10 through 50 in terms of the rankings for those players, it was so close that the 10th guy on one guy's board could have been the 35th guy on another guy's board. That's how much it basically differed from one team to another. So the Giants felt that based on their rankings, these were the guys that they were in the best position to take. You know, Justin Pugh may have not been very high on somebody else's board, but when you take into consideration the need for the Giants and the experience, it's very hard right now to criticize the pick. And it's hard to criticize anybody's pick at this point because you don't see the true potential in any young prospect until you get 2 to 3 years past the draft. So all of the experts out there who make a living in grades, that's all well and good in terms of what they see, the translation from college to the pros. But to really look at these Giants draft picks and say, this guy's going to come in and make this impact or this guy's going to struggle, you're not going to be able to answer those questions until we see them for one full season and then some. Way too premature right now to determine the true potential of these guys.
201-939-4513. Let's try Len in Maryland. Len, good morning. How are you, pal?
How you doing?
Doing all right, Len.
Good, good. Listen, let me be a little critical. You guys sound like you're working too hard to justify this number one pick.
Wait, Len. Hold on a second. You're being critical. They got your run-stuffing defensive lineman in the second round. That's what you wanted.
Well,
that's what they got.
Well, you didn't give me a chance to get to the second round pick. I know you remember. I love that pick. When this guy falls on you, I think you're going to remember it. He's perfect. He's just the kind of guy I want. Tired of getting pushed around, and I think Hankins is the kind of guy who can kind of hold his spot in that line, clog up the middle, and punish the blocker. And that's what I want to do. I want guys on that defense who are going to punish the blocker. So I like that second round pick.
Okay.
I'm still a little lukewarm on the first round pick.
Why is that?
When I hear words like athletic, intelligent, I start thinking second and third round. I can't think first round. Going to give the benefit of the doubt. You know, the versatility part, hey, we need a right tackle. We don't need versatility. We need a right tackle. Put Justin Pugh at right tackle and hold that spot, Justin, and I'll feel a lot better about it. Can I put a grade on it, in my opinion?
Yeah, sure.
B. And if Pugh starts, I move it up to B plus. Now let me be a little more positive and talk for a few seconds if you'll allow me.
Yeah.
The whole off season. B plus right now. If Victor signs long term and Pugh starts at right tackle, this off season is an A. So far it's been a really very, very good off season, I think, counting the draft and the free agent signings. But if we can get Victor long term and Pugh is the starter at right tackle, Jerry's done a great job. Just a great job this off season.
Well, then, I want to say one thing, what you said real quickly about Pugh, and I think he is going to get plugged in. I think if I had to guess who's going to start at offensive tackle on the right side, I think it's going to be Pugh. But, you mentioned if you say athlete here, things say like athlete and, potential and things like that. To me, Pugh is more of a finished product at offensive line than players you've drafted in the past. To me, he's more of a finished product than Jason Pierre-Paul, and the Giants took him in the first round. This guy's ready to step in and play, and he has production in a big-time conference that should allow him to do that.
Well, I'm keeping my fingers crossed. I trust Jerry. I'm just having trouble really getting excited about that first round pick. But when he starts that Sunday night against Dallas, opening game of the season, I'm gonna rate this draft a little higher. The third round pick. Give me 30 more seconds if you would.
Sure.
The third round pick is an interesting one. If Kiwi stays at defensive end, I mean we got four defensive ends, and the leftovers, Ojomo, Tratau, and Tracy have all been on a 53-man roster with the Giants and over the last 2 years. I mean, there's a heck of a lot of depth at defensive tackle. I hope he works out real well. I don't really kind of understand that pick. And I don't know. The fourth-round pick is a head-scratcher. I know you're probably going to address it later, but I don't – there are linebackers there. I looked at the depth chart this morning. Heck, we only got six linebackers. Now, maybe Tracy's moving back. Maybe Kiwi's going to spend some time back there. Maybe the safety's going to move down a little bit. But, geez, we only got six guys on the contract at linebacker.
No, Len, you're right.
There may be some undrafted free agents coming in, too, or linebackers. But, geez, it doesn't look like – I mean, just it's a pure numbers thing. We only got six of them, guys. I mean, we got to get some linebackers.
All right, Len, appreciate the call, my friend.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah, have a good one. And I guess we'll touch on the quarterback now since he brought it up. And actually, first I want to touch on the linebacker point. And this is the complaint that I was getting a lot. We hosted a show on Friday night. We got tons of calls. Everybody's like, where's the linebacker? 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 Well, folks, this was not a heavy linebacker draft here. We talked about in the first round, if you weren't going to draft Ogletree or Teo, you weren't picking a linebacker in the first round. And the Giants clearly liked the talent Hankerson could give them. Remember, he was projected to be a first-round pick, maybe even top 15, top 20, a couple of months ago. And they simply liked his upside and talent more than they liked any linebackers on the board. And look, the Giants had to improve their run defense last year. They picked Hankerson. They had to get their pass rush better, had to get younger there. They drafted Demontre Moore. And look, you're right. They're going to have to do something a linebacker here, Lance. They don't have much of a choice. They just need numbers. And he's right. Jake Masao's the guy that's going to come back and compete a linebacker in the offseason. Paysinger, Herzlick, Jaquan, Keith Rivers, and, of course, Dan Connor, who they brought in. You're going to have to add some more depth there. Get younger, and maybe they can even bring in a veteran or two, a la Keith Bullock from a couple years ago. Hope it works out a little bit better. But a player like that to maybe, chip in at that linebacker position.
Well, Len also alluded to the fact that Tracy and Mathias Kiwanuka have plenty of experience at the linebacker spot. And I'm not making excuses here, but the bottom line is there's so much speculation that Kiwanuka is going to move down to the line full time. Maybe now the Giants are saying there was better depth that they were able to add through the draft at defensive tackle and defensive end and not at linebacker, that maybe they're reconsidering their game plan and maybe Kiwanuka is not going to necessarily be a full-time defensive end. And I know a lot of Giants fans say, well, wait, hold on. He's more effective when he's brought down to the line. And I agree. No argument there. But based on the numbers right now that we're looking at how this roster lays out, what may be the best game plan, at least for the time being, is to have Kiwanuka for depth purposes, John, be primarily a linebacker and not necessarily pull the trigger and move him so quickly back to the line.
I hear you, but you want to put Kiwanuka where he could be most effective. You know what I mean? You don't want to put him somewhere where he's not going to be the best player he could possibly be.
And I agree with you there, but based on the numbers, Kiwanuka is arguably your most strongest linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the roster from top to bottom, you're set with Connor in the middle. Jaquan Williams, you love his versatility. But to me, Kiwanuka is that third guy right now that at least is somewhat reliable. So I would be hesitant to jockey with positions. Another thing just to keep in mind in terms of the concern over there's not a lot of linebackers on the roster, Perry Fuel uses that three safety alignment a lot.
Okay? Well, I think that's the point of the Giants don't value linebackers
so
as much.
If you're not going to have a linebacker out there for every single down, you add depth in other positions and you make your way around that situation. That's another thing to not overlook, at least very early in the offseason.
Not to mention pressure on Keith Rivers to stay healthy.
Absolutely.
Which hasn't really happened in 5 years.
Well, that's been an issue for him during the course of his career, even before he came to the Giants with the Bengals.
201-939-4513. Let's go to, I think this is Sayer in Lee. Sayer, what's going on? How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing right, Sayer. How are you?
Good. Well, you know what I think about the NFL draft? I think the Giants did a good job. They picked, like, Justin Pugh, who, they need help with the offensive line. So, good they picked Justin Pugh, you know? Like, they need help with the offensive line. They're old now. So, Justin Pugh was a good pick. That I'll give, like, an A. And then second round they picked, what's his name? Who did they pick for the second round?
Hankerson.
Hankins.
Yeah, Hankins. That was a good pick, too, because the defensive tackle, they have they lost this guy named Rocky Bernard, who was their defensive tackle. They lost him, but now they got this guy named Hankins, Jonathan Hankins. So they got him, and they got
Well, they also lost Chris Canty. Let's not forget that too. They had to fill the void there.
Yeah, they lost Chris Canty. So it's good that they got Chris Canty now. They got this guy named Jonathan Hankins. So the defensive tackle is gonna be good. Plus, they drafted a defensive end named last name Moore, DeMontre Moore. So the defensive line is going to be amazing this year because they got, like, two young, defensive linemen, and they drafted, like, I think they drafted, like, a safety, and, the really good offensive player they drafted was the quarterback, Ryan Nassib. He's going to be playing really good. Like, once Eli Manning's contract expires, like, once he gets old, and Ryan Nassib will probably take over and be quarterback for the Giants in the future, and then he'll be playing good because in college he played good, you know, like, He's like one of the best quarterbacks in the draft. So yeah. So overall, I was great. The Giants, like, I'll grade them like an A because I think they're really good. Because if only they drafted a linebacker, they should have drafted like a guy Alex Ogletree from the first round, but they didn't draft him. Instead, drafted Justin Pugh. Because I don't know how they're gonna get a new linebacker though. I don't know which linebacker they're gonna get because they lost Kiwanuka's moved to defensive end and what's his name? They lost linebacker with Michael Bowley. So they need a defense. They need like linebacker too.
All right, Sayer. Appreciate the call, my friend.
All right, thank you.
You have a good one, man.
Thanks a lot.
And now we can touch on Nassib since you brought him up. And we got a couple questions on Twitter coming in, too. Trading up for Nassib, is that preparing for Eli's departure in the next few years? And then that one came in from Daniel Wan. And then coming in from our man Brian Taylor. Do you think the future plan is for Nassib to replace David Carr? What's David Carr's future now in terms of a backup quarterback? Well, let me say this first. Eli Manning's not going anywhere for quite a long time. He's still a young man. Quarterbacks now can play well into their late 30s, 37, 38 years old. You'll be fine. So to me, Eli's going to be here for another 6, 7, 8 years. And is Nassib going to stay as the backup for 6, 7, 8 years as the heir apparent to replace Eli Manning? No. He's not, because if he's good enough to do that, he's going to try to find a starting role somewhere. That being said, the Giants liked him in terms of value. They had a second-round grade on him, apparently. And they must think that he can be a better backup than David Carr, maybe in a year, if Eli finally eventually – and it's going to happen. Eli's going to get hurt. He's going to miss games. He hasn't so far. He's been very lucky. When that eventually happens, maybe they believe Nassib can be a better backup to him than David Carr, and if he develops, he plays really well in preseason, other NFL teams really like him, maybe you can trade him and you can get a high draft pick for him like the Falcons did with Matt Schaub a few years ago. So I think that's what you're looking at. Are you looking at Eli Manning's replacement? Honestly, I don't think you are.
I think it's trade bait. I think you hit it right on the nose, John. I think it's a piece that they can utilize, they can groom, and then in a year or two, perhaps there's another team out there that's in need of a quarterback, and perhaps they can get something really good in return. That, to me, is the most appealing thing right now about having a guy like Ryan Nassib on the roster. In terms of the immediacy of him being needed on the roster, hard to argue that. Like you said, Eli Manning is very young, in his early 30s. He is the quarterback for now. He is the quarterback for years to come. I don't think the Giants have any concern. He's been extremely durable. You do want insurance. God forbid he does get hurt. But there is no quarterback controversy within the Giants organization.
No.
And the big question is, how many quarterbacks will they decide to carry once they get out of training camp? Now, the big trend the last couple of years has been two.
I think they're going to take three now. I think
so they're going to go back to what they did prior to 2008.
I don't know if you could trust Nassib to be the backup this year by himself in his first year out of college.
And here's the other thing, John. They rave about the fact that David Carr is so beneficial to run that scout team. I don't know if Nassib comes in right away and is able to pick up where a guy like Carr left off.
That's a bonus. You can,
well, but
you
I mean,
can
that's key
that
in terms of preparation week to week, especially a guy that can mimic other quarterbacks and digest their systems as if he was playing for the opposing team. And here's another thing that Nassib pointed out, which I found interesting when he was addressing reporters. He redshirted his freshman year at Syracuse, and he talked about how beneficial that was just to get acclimated to the college game, making the transition from high school to college. Now he was sort of singing a similar tune where he was approaching this rookie season as sort of a redshirt professional year.
Well, he's going to have about three or four of those if he keeps playing behind Eli Manning.
Well, but the point I'm saying is if you're going to approach it like a redshirt year, and I'm not criticizing Nassib, but maybe you're not even ready to be the scout quarterback if you don't know all of the language and jargon that comes with being a professional quarterback.
Yeah, to me, this is a learning year for Nassib. You figure it out. You learn in the classroom. You learn from two veterans that know what they're doing. You learn how to be a professional. And then maybe next year he's ready to be the primary backup. I think David Carr is on this roster this year, and I think Nassib is quarterback number three.
And they did lock up Carr fairly early in the offseason because of the confidence factor that they had in him. So I agree with you. I think as it stands right now, assuming the roster stays healthy and there's no need to add depth elsewhere, which has been an issue for the Giants coming out of training camp in years prior, I could definitely see them keeping three quarterbacks. I think there's a benefit to having Carr, and clearly you're not going to part ways with Nassib because he has value moving forward.
And you use two draft picks to get him. You trade your six to get him in the move up in the fourth round. So that's certainly not going to happen. 201-939-4513. Garrison's up very early out in California. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you? What's going on?
Good. I wanted to say 3 days. I'm happy about the draft. Puke, I have a nickname for him. T-Rex. I thought it would be a great nickname.
Oh, you know what? And with the short arms, I like it. Funny. I approve.
But tough guy.
Yes, I like it.
It's got potential.
On the quarterback pick, I was thinking about it and what I thought about it. If they traded up and give up their six, they for sure went for value. And like what you said earlier, Carr is going to be gone by next year. I mean, he only has 1 year. And by that time, hopefully not, they can come in and replace him.
Yep.
And if not, later on, we can trade for him and get probably a second rounder. If that was to happen, I would think that would be great.
That's the plan.
Cool.
All right, Garrison. Appreciate the call, man. Thanks a lot. I think he's right. I you know what? The Purex isn't bad. I actually saw Jurassic Park 3D last night on the in the movie theater.
Oh,
cool.
So you can image. That.
I can,
you can take
yes.
that image and basically connect it to the new nickname.
It was fun.
That has been applied.
I would recommend it.
Jurassic Park 3D.
Yeah, I was reliving some early 90s. You know, growing up as a kid. What was that like? 92, 93 Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
When you went, I'm not sure if you went to see it in the movie theaters. Did you or
I believe
young?
I did. I
did
mean,
you?
It was so long ago.
Well,
that
when I saw it as a kid, that was like the coolest movie you had ever seen at that point. You're like, wow, this. You see the dinosaurs. This was awesome. And it was fun.
So
was
3D.
Yeah,
experience.
3D. And I'm usually not a big 3D guy. It doesn't do much for me, and I don't really care about it. But
doesn't rock my boat either.
It was cool. It was cool. I enjoyed it.
I'm still getting caught up on some of the Academy Award nominations, so I'm still behind in the game when it comes to films. I am slowly making my way to the group of seven or eight that at least received plenty of accolades over the last couple of years.
Well, you aren't exactly Captain Pop Culture over
here. No, I am not. I will be the first to admit that. So, you know, it's hard for me to add to the benefits of a 3D movie, but I am not necessarily as big of a fan as you are.
You know, it's funny. When it comes to that. I expected to get more angry people this morning. We got a bunch of guys on the line, so maybe we're going to get a few more angry people. But
well, Len got us off to a good start.
He did. Well, it seemed like what people really wanted, I know Shakes is going to get to this when we get to him in a couple callers away. The two needs that people really wanted to highlight this year was linebacker. And frankly, based on the callers, I got the sense from them they thought the Giants' second biggest need was cornerback. And those are two positions the Giants did not address in the draft. And I expected fans to be a little upset about that. Now, me and you talked about it. To me, this was more of a front-line draft. And I was happy. They came out with an offensive lineman and two defensive linemen in the first three picks. I thought that's what they had to do to address this draft. And I think they did well in doing that. But I have a feeling we're going to get some linebacker and cornerback complaints here.
And some of the early corners, you know, had questions regarding injury.
Milner,
so they were not necessarily guaranteed to come in and make an impact. They did invest a draft pick last year in Hosley, and they brought in Aaron Ross. So it's not as if they've completely taken the corner spot and ignored it throughout the course of this offseason.
And they used the one on Prince 2 years ago. How many ones do you want to use on corners?
And listen, Giants fans know at this point in the game, it's not necessarily a need-based game when it comes to the Giants and their approach to the draft. It's about value. It's about talent. And if they have seven defensive ends on the roster, they are not going to hesitate in taking an eighth. Real quickly before we get back to the calls, John, because this relates to the whole linebacker debate, and this was an interesting tweet our good friend Marcus Erickson bringing up regarding one of their late draft picks in the fifth round. Any possibility Giants want Cooper Taylor to convert to linebacker? With a few added pounds, he would have the size for it.
And he's big. He's 230.
And they moved him around a lot. They brought him down into the box in Richmond to make that type of an impact as a guy that can attack within the front seven and stop the run as well as defend the pass. I'm not necessarily saying that they're going to move him down in, down out to the linebacker spot, but he's a guy that in that three safety alignment can be like a mock linebacker.
And then one other guy, too, we should mention one of the other late round picks, our man Drew at Drew SG1. Loves Eric Herman. Think he's a mauler. He can, you know, play in that Rich Cyber type of role. Look, he's a late round pick. He's out of a small school in Ohio, which obviously is not like you're playing in the Big Ten or SEC or ACC or Pac-10 or whatever. But that's a developmental guy. I do not expect Eric Herman to step in here in year one or even year two and be a big factor. There's a reason he was a seventh-round pick.
Last year, they drafted two experimental offensive linemen, too. And last year was basically a year for them to progress and improve. Perhaps they take a step in the right direction. I'm referring to McCants and Mosley.
Right.
Herman could be one of those guys that you throw into that mix.
All right, let's go to the phones at 201-939-4513. Mike's in Richmond, Virginia. Mike, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's up, Mike?
Exciting day. We got something new to talk about.
I know. It's fantastic.
No more speculation.
I got I know a lot of callers are on the line. So it's a three-part question, but pretty straightforward.
Sure.
One, Nasby. I heard an ESPN analyst thinking he was maybe even a first-rounder because apparently the new Bills coach, who was at Syracuse, they drafted and they thought he was really a potential first-rounder. So I wonder, what your guys' thoughts on in terms of, the value in that selection. Two, we drafted that Beast Hankins from Ohio State, and I'm wondering what you guys think in terms of, since we drafted him, what that means about Marvin Austin, and if he's kind of the B word, since he's a second-round pick 2 years ago. And then three, you had just mentioned,
No, go ahead, Mike. I'm sorry.
The B word being bust.
I got that.
But, yeah. And the last question would be, you mentioned Mosley and McCants. The fact that we, again, drafted offensive line heavy, does that say that Coffin and Reese don't trust some of these other guys we drafted last year to go on the front line?
All right, Mike, well, let's knock through one by one. One, I think if Nassib was drafted in round one, it would have been a reach. And I think most people think any quarterback drafted in round one in this draft would have been considered a reach. But I think Nassib is a legit number two rounds, second round value pick. So I think that went well, number one. Number two, Hankins, big guy, stops to run. Again, some issues with his motor apparently, wears down in games. Some people not sure he has the stamina, needs to get in better shape. But look, first round talent. And I think we've seen that been talked about. If this draft was 2 months ago, both DeMontre Moore and Hankins might have both been number one picks. Their value has dropped since the season has ended. And finally, O-line wise, look, they drafted a guard. You can't depend on a guy like Mosley and McCants to be a starter view down the round when you drafted him in the sixth or seventh round. So you have him for depth. If he develops, he develops. That's great. But it doesn't stop you from bringing in a first-round talent like Pugh. And they'll treat Herman the same way at guard.
And as far as whether or not Coughlin is concerned about his present five starters, keep in mind, you know, Brewer's had ample opportunity to make an impact on this team. And they're still waiting for him to, you know, grasp the opportunity and come in and make an impact. So I don't know necessarily by the Giants beefing up their depth chart and offensive line, it's a sign that they're somewhat concerned with their five regulars. All it does is it adds more competition, and that's not necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah, but Mike, it's also important to know, too, some of these offensive linemen are getting older. Christie older, David Deal older, David Boss older. So I think they're trying to prepare for the future
right
here.
No, I meant more along the lines of guys like Austin, McCants, Mosley, guys that we have drafted. You know, I mean, I like Pugh. I think he's a good first-rounder, but we have, again, drafted, you know, a few offensive guard experiments, and I'm looking back and saying, well, what does that say about the Giants and guys that they drafted, like, you know, Austin, McCants, Mosley? Do they see value in these guys?
Well, I mean, I think they can see value in Mosley and McCants as backups. Do I think they see those guys as future starters at tackle? I think that's a stretch. I don't think they've shown enough to make the Giants think they can be starters at tackle. No. As for Marvin Austin, if he didn't already feel pressure about having a good offseason, which would have been crazy if he didn't, he better feel it now. Because I am more convinced than ever, if Marvin Austin doesn't show this team something significant over the next 3 or 4 months or by the end of August, he will not be on this roster this year. I just don't think there's any room for him.
Wow. Okay. Thanks. Good conversation. Thanks a lot.
All right, Mike.
Hey, appreciate it. Hey, look, Austin's got to do it now. They got so many tackles that can play. He's got a player. He's gone. I don't know. Nobody said this to me in the front office. Just my opinion. But how can you take anything else out of this draft but that?
It's a numbers game. Like you said, John, they bring in Cullen Jenkins. They just drafted Hankins. You know, he's got to see the writing on the wall.
Sean Rogers back. Kuhn back from last year. And then you have Joseph. I mean, come on.
A lot of guys in the mix for only two defensive tackles that you could put on the field at the same time.
And you're not going to carry more than five on game day, including your inactive list. You're not going to have more than five at most six defensive tackles on your roster. And look, you know Jenkins is here. You know Hankins is here. You know Joseph is here. I'm 95% sure Marcus Kuhn is here. And that's four. So you're looking at one at most two more guys. Patterson's been a good defensive tackle in this league for a long time. Sean Rogers has been an effective player there. And then the Giants also like to move guys like Tuck and JPP to tackle or even Kiwanuka in pass rush situations. So, look, I think it's going to be very hard for Marvin Austin to find time to play this year, and he's got to show it. I mean, he's got to play well in this offseason or he's in a lot of trouble.
Plus, the two other guys that you said he may be competing with for that last spot, Rogers and Patterson, you know, they have the experience factor, John, working in their favor. So the Giants can look back at tape and say, these guys have been there, they have done that. Austin doesn't have a lot under his belt to go to work with because of the fact that he hasn't been healthy enough to stay on the field.
201-939-4513. John's in North Carolina. John, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling, Johnny. What's up?
Hey, I think Jerry Reese did a good job in the draft. You know, here in his press conferences, he said he wanted to bring in competition, several positions. I think they achieved that.
Yep.
And, of course, everybody would like to have a linebacker. That's what we were all expecting. But I was just reading on the Internet the undrafted free agents. The Giants have signed three of them, three linebackers. They've signed five people. Three of them are linebackers.
Well, the Giants haven't announced who they've signed yet, so we can't report on that quite yet. But look, I expected them to add a lot of undrafted free agents at linebacker, but it's also very difficult, John, to rely on undrafted free agents to be significant members of your roster. Some special teamers you can find there, sure. But here's the issue with the linebacker, and I think it's a legitimate one. Besides Jaquan Williams, and I can't count Keith Rivers because he's always hurt, I don't know if there's anybody in this roster besides Jaquan Williams that you can say, I can rely on this guy to be a starter in this league. You know, Dan Connor's been okay on first and second down. I just don't think you have a lot of proven commodities that you can trust a linebacker right now, and that's a problem.
Yes, and I do agree with the previous caller, one of the previous callers, that I think they might put their fifth-round pick to a linebacker.
It's possible.
Well, that was a tweet that we got earlier
yeah.
from Marcus Erickson.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the fact that Cooper Taylor has the body to convert to a linebacker. We'll see. I mean, I think that they like him primarily as a safety. At Richmond in college, he was used both in pass situations, and they brought him up to the box a lot of times to help in terms of stopping the run. So they could certainly experiment with that, but I don't know if they envision him as a guy that they could put out there for two or three downs as a linebacker. I think he's an attractive option in their three safety alignment. He can give you a lot of versatility in regard to that.
Okay, well, thank you very much, guys.
You got it, John. Thanks a lot for the phone call. Appreciate
the call. 201-939-4513. And now, I'm just going through the, trying to find some of the quotes over the weekend about the safety to see what Jerry Reese and Mark Russell and Tom Coughlin had to say about him. I'll find it in a sec. I want to go back to a couple tweets. From Mike Farmer, if Nassib wants to stay and wait on Eli, great. If not, and he becomes value that you can trade, that's great too. I think that's a great way to look at it. Dave Sands writes in, I sent something special with Demontre Moore. Mark my words, no one will complain when he'll be our new star. Well, I think, you know, let's wait and see on that. Let's not get ahead of ourselves, but I think he has a good chance. Trina NY writes in, Cassin Green was sitting there linebacker in round 3 and round 2, I believe, actually. I think we are set at defensive tackle with Jenkins and Linville, so it doesn't like the Hankins pick. The Giants are not a linebacker-reliant team. However, the focus is usually on D-line and secondary, which certainly is true if you look at their history.
Speaking of the quotes, this is what Tom Coughlin's response to the exact question was, does it sound like you're going to maybe move him to linebackers? This is, I quote from what Tom Coughlin said at the press conference. Well, he is a safety by trade, but you drop him down in that three safety package or whatever you want to do in terms of you substitute a defense, whether he plays an outside backer or whatever, that is all going to have to be determined when we get him in here. That was his answer as to can they move Taylor to an every down linebacker.
So not ruling it out. Not ruling it out.
In the experimental phase come training camp. That's probably the best way to interpret that.
So I guess you think about it. But again, late round draft pick and, you know, all these late rounds and the undrafted free agents, I'm just not sure you can rely on them to be starters. You know, you got to develop these guys.
Well, not everybody's going to be a Chase Blackburn.
Well, I want to see if this guy has recovered. I talked to him on Friday. He was losing it. He was almost incoherent. He was so upset. And I hope he's recovered. I hope he's in a little bit better mood today. And that's Shakes down in Baltimore. Shakes, what's going on, pal?
Hey, man. I'm in a better mood. I am. I like the pick. Don't get me wrong. I just think that we really need an impact linebacker. We haven't had one in years. I wait every year, and we don't do it. But to talk about the picks, like Pew, I love Pew. Like, I like the YouTube video. I like the enthusiasm. I like Big Hank, and Big Hank going stuff everything. I also like the monster. I like the monster. When we drafted him, I smiled. Even though we didn't draft a linebacker, even though Cassim Green was on the board, I smiled when I seen the monster. I said, okay, that's Von Miller's friend. So, yeah, he should be disruptive. He should be disruptive. The Cooper Taylor pick is a little questionable. I mean, he's 6'4". And he can play. I think he's going to be in that Deion Grant mode, how we use Deion Grant. So, do y'all like him? Did y'all see any film on him? Because I didn't see any.
Hey, look, I didn't watch a whole lot of film on him. I looked online. I couldn't find a whole lot. He's a big kid. He's a box safety. Maybe you can move him to outside linebacker or something like that if you like. But look, he is what he is, and he's not going to be chasing guys down the field in coverage. If you want to use him as a box linebacker, as Tom Coughlin mentioned, maybe in your, you know, three safety package near the line of scrimmage to help out against the run, you can do that. But, you know, again, anybody that's picked to me in the fifth round and beyond, if you can find the starter there, you know, frankly, a lot of it's luck, to be quite honest with you. So I think these are guys you develop and you try to get better slowly but surely, and hopefully they provide depth as backups and sub-package guys and special teams players.
Oh, one more question.
Sure.
I've seen that a couple people went undrafted, such as Chase Thomas, linebacker from Stanford, Kevin Reddick, linebacker from North Carolina.
Yeah, that was surprising. Reddick went undrafted. He was supposed to be a fourth or fifth round pick.
Yeah, I heard them even as high as third round, second round.
Yeah, I was surprised by that.
Yeah, so I want to know if he's available and if Jerry can get off his ass and, excuse me, if Jerry can get off his butt, get off his butt and bring in a linebacker.
Well, if reports are accurate, you know, the Giants are in talks with a lot of players, including some linebackers, to bring in as undrafted free agents. And quite frankly, they have to. The numbers just aren't there. And maybe they'll find – and Brian Taylor points out on Twitter, Victor Cruz was an undrafted free agent. You never know when that's true, but you can't depend on these guys. If you happen to, you know, strike gold and get lucky, that's great, but you can't depend on them.
What about bringing Boldy back?
Yeah.
Well, he is still a free agent.
Someone else mentioned that. He's hurt all the time. He's up there in age. I don't think the Giants are going to go back down that path.
They do have a track record, though, of bringing guys back that are still out there on the market. They brought back Deion Grant. Chase Blackburn came back. Wouldn't stun me, but I think that they definitely want to explore some other options before they go that route.
My fault. Just one last question, too. When we drafted Michael Cox, okay, so does that rule out any chance of us bringing back Brandon Jacobs? Because I think we need his fire in the locker room.
I don't think Brandon Jacobs is coming back. I think there's a better chance Brandon Jacobs retires than he plays for the Giants this year.
That's your opinion, huh?
Yep.
I think he wants to come back, and I don't think the Giants ruled it out.
Well, so. But keep this in mind, Shakes, and I didn't mean to cut you off. Brandon Jacobs signed with the San Francisco 49ers, okay? And he was, what, the third or fourth running back on the depth chart. He was unhappy with that role. So Brandon Jacobs, let's say hypothetically, comes back to the Giants. Is he going to be the number one running back? No. Is he going to be the number two running back? No. Maybe not even the third running back. So what makes you think, regardless of the fire that you say he's going to bring to the table, that he's going to be happy once we get 4 or 5 weeks into the season?
Okay, I can answer that. When he started off, he was only a third and one guy. Maybe that's his job.
Well, but the question is, can he accept that role? That's the big thing when it comes to a veteran player.
Thanks for the call, Shakes.
All right, man. Take care,
Shakes.
Appreciate it, man. You know, you don't want Brandon getting upset, then he's going to start tweeting pictures of him in San Francisco 49er jerseys.
Yes, we do not want a repeat of that.
By the way, have you noticed, if you peruse the Giants chat channel, the San Francisco Giants have started using Giants chat. I'm not happy about it. We need to talk somebody over there.
Well, I always wanted to hear your thoughts on Pablo Sandoval III. So.
Buster Posey, Barry Zito.
Well, maybe we have to change it to hashtag NYGiants.
No, I think we need to forcibly remove the San Francisco Giants from our hashtag.
Well, the San Francisco Giants did start in New York at one point.
I don't care.
So they do have some claim to
Giants
this
area. Chat is the New York Giants hashtag we've been using for 2 years on this show. And you got these Johnny-come-latelys out there in San Francisco trying to co-opt our hashtag, and I'm not happy about it.
Can Pablo Sandoval play linebacker? Since we're sticking with the theme.
I think he's more of a defensive tackle.
Okay. Just wanted to throw that out there. Perhaps he could, be a multi-sport athlete. We've seen it with Deion Sanders.
Oh, man.
It's possible.
You bring Tim Lincecum in to back up
Eli. You never know. He could be a place kicker, too.
Man. But I'm not happy about it.
We're going to have some discussions behind closed
doors. They don't use it that often. And, frankly, I haven't seen the actual San Francisco Giants Twitter account, tweet that out to send the Giants chat. Giant fans might be doing it, on their own. I'm not sure. Either way. I'm not pleased.
Well, let's see. I'm going to the San Francisco Giants account right now. They actually use hashtag SFGiants.
Yeah.
That seems to be their hashtag on Twitter.
Yeah, so maybe it's just a lot of confused
it's the
San Francisco
Giants that are lost.
Fans.
They're misguided.
These West Coast people, they're flighty. They're kind of all over the place. They're not really focused on sports sometimes, so I could see that. 201-939-4513. Bill is down in Texas. Bill, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
What's going on, Bill?
How are you?
Hey, good. Hey, I just had a couple of questions. This running, I like the Cooper Taylor deal. I thought that was good. I thought we needed a guy like that. The running back, is that the kid from Texas A&M?
You talking about Michael Cox?
Who do we pick up, sixth or seventh?
The seventh round was a running back called Michael Cox. He started in Michigan and then went to UMass.
Okay, well, I don't know much about this guy. I'm not a big college fan as far as college football. Is he a big guy? What's the deal?
bigger power back. He comes in at 6'3", 214 pounds. Well, actually, I haven't listed
he's
two different ways
here. He's more of the 6'1", 6'2" range, I would say.
Well, yeah. You know, my they actually asked him if he was 6'3", 214, but he comes in more around 6'1", 6'2". So, you know, he's more of a bigger guy, more of a power back. But, you know, until he actually gets here and, you know, and we see him, it's hard for me to say. I'll give you a quote. This is what Mark Ross, the Giants director of college scouting, had to say about him. Where is it here? I'm looking for Cox. There we go. Michael Cox, another guy we think is a little bit under the radar. If you look at his stats at UMass, they aren't that impressive, but he gets the ball, and there are two guys in the backfield. He's trying to make everything on his own. Runs hard. He's got size. Really good hands. A little burst. We had him for a visit. Real good kid. The coaches were impressed with him, so we're happy we're getting a big, fast guy who runs hard late in the draft. So that was Mark Ross's little scouting report there on Michael Cox.
And just to give
well,
you
that's yeah. good. That's good because I talked to you guys a little over a year ago, and I was kind of sad to see Brandon Jacobs lose because the Giants have always had kind of one big back all the time, you know. And I know David Wilson is quick and everything, but I'm concerned about can he handle the ball, you know.
Well, but don't forget about Andre Brown, who has that big mold somewhat and I think could provide that power game angle if that's what they're looking for. And assuming he's going to be healthy, it's going to be more like a 50-50 split this season. I don't know necessarily if David Wilson's all of a sudden going to take on 20 to 25 carries a game.
Right, right. And one more, my last question. I'm sure you guys are getting flooded with it. Any word on Cruz?
Not yet. But okay. And look, in my opinion, this is just a gut feeling. I think something will be done by the end of May. That'll be my feeling. I think you'll see Victor Cruz in this building either playing under the tender or signed to a long-term deal. I think a long-term deal is more likely. And my guess, it'll happen by the end of May or at the very least before mandatory minicamp in the middle of June. That's my feeling. Look, both sides have their cards on the table here. The Giants are not going to substantially increase their offer. So Victor Cruz can either sign it now, you know, come to camp, come to OTAs, you know, keep his reputation intact, be here, be a good teammate, or he can hold out. And I don't think Victor Cruz is going to hold out, so I think he'll be here within the next month, month and a half.
All right, great. Hey, thanks a lot, guys.
Appreciate it, man. Thanks for the call. 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. It's been more positive, Lance. I think Giant fans seem pretty happy today about the draft.
Well, I think the more and more they learn about all of these draft picks, they realize there's some versatility here, there's some potential, and it's still, like I said at the beginning of the show, very early to judge when you don't see what they can do yet on the football field in a Giants uniform. Listen, you can watch as much film as you'd like of these players in college, but it's a whole different ballgame when they're getting out against seasoned veterans in the NFL. That's when you really could separate the men from the boys. And I think that there's a variety of talent here. Some guys who were projected to be first-rounders who the Giants got in the second and third round, which is a good thing. You could judge the numbers at the combine all you want, but I never get caught up in that. Just because a guy can lift X amount of reps or he can run a 4.5, 40-yard dash, who cares? To be honest with you, just because he can run that fast without a helmet and pads on, how does that determine? This has always been something that's bothered me. How does that determine that a guy is going to pan out to be a great football player? If he doesn't have the helmet and the pads on, when he's running at the combine.
We actually had a great call about that the other week. It was actually a question that we had for our scouts feature where Giant fans could submit questions and ask scouts questions. One of the questions was, why don't these guys wear pads and helmets when they run their 40-yard dashes?
And what was the answer?
I don't know. That was literally the answer.
It was a good question.
That's a good question. I don't know. It's kind of how we've always
done it. It's something that's always bothered me. I never understand, especially...
Maybe they can run the 40 with a guy trying to tackle him from behind. How about that?
Hey, do something. Or have him do a horse and buggy run.
That's
one of my favorite terms.
But yeah, you know what? I think that's a good point. And look, I think the combine is overrated. And if you take a look at it, the Giants seem to kind of ignore the combine this year. I mean, and in years past, they haven't. They've gotten the guys that have a good 40 times, good athletes, try to develop them. You know, Ramsey's Barton, tall. You can't teach height. Travis Beckham, great athlete, all this stuff. But this year, look, Justin Pugh. The big knock on him from the combine measurements, short arms, the T-Rex arms. You know, the guy trying to reach the T-Rex trying to reach something on the high shelf and he can't get to it. For those of you at home, I'm doing
yeah,
a T-Rex
and that's why I'm laughing.
Right
I have
now.
Nothing against Justin Pugh. It's just comical watching John with the hand motions.
But the whole point is that the Giants ignored that. Well, I shouldn't say ignored. They saw it. looked on tape to see if those short arms might have affected him in games, and they didn't. So they picked him anyway.
They did not see it as a hindrance.
Hankins is a guy who in January, February would have been a super high draft pick. Didn't do so well at the combine. Questions about his motor. Giants pick him anyway because of his production on the field. Demontre Moore, little off-the-field issue that the Giants are looking at, you know, marijuana issue. You have, he didn't lift a whole lot at the combine, doesn't have a great lower body. That being said, the Giants saw his production during the year, 27 sacks in 3 years. This guy's got production. Let's take him. So the Giants really focused on taking football players this year, not necessarily the combine kings.
When Jerry Reese was asked about Demontre Moore, before he even talked about what he was as a player, he said sacks. That's the magical word that the Giants are looking to solve this year.
He has a good nickname, too, the Monster. That's pretty good, instead of Demontre. I like that.
With those other players that know how to get to the quarterback, that could be something that could stick very easily if he can make an immediate impact with this front seven.
So you have the Purex, you have the Monster, and you got Big Hank.
That's a nice mix. That's intimidating, those names. I could see them.
And you got Ryan Nassib nicknames for me?
Nothing jumps to mind right now. I think you got to get out there and do a little something before we can give you a nickname, don't you think?
Yeah, I'm looking at these other guys. I got nothing. We got like Eric Herman could be like Herman Munster, big guy, 6'4", 320.
And Cooper, maybe there's something to toy around with there.
Cooper Union?
Mr. Cooper?
It doesn't make any sense. Hanging with Mr. Cooper? That's not bad.
Reference to a little pop culture. See, I do watch my fair share.
Only from the early 90s, though, apparently.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
How many years did Hang with Mr. Cooper last?
Oh, wasn't that a TGIF show, if I'm correct?
Right? Oh, was
that a Friday night show? I believe it was on ABC.
I remember seeing the repeats at like 5:30 on Channel 11, I think it was.
But I believe it was one of those Friday night shows.
201-939-4513. Two more calls before we say goodbye. Let's go to Josh out in California first. Josh, good morning.
Morning.
What's up?
Hey, I had a real quick question.
Yeah.
Sean Locklear, what happened with Sean Locklear?
Sean Locklear is still recovering from that very serious knee injury. He is not on the roster presently. The Giants, I'm sure, are monitoring him coming back from that injury. And if he gets healthy, maybe they'll take a look at him. But right now, he's rehabbing, and he is not on an NFL roster.
Okay. Yeah, I was curious. I mean, I know we got a lot of good stuff going on there in the draft and stuff, but I was just, you know,
that's
I really like what he did this last season. You know, he really was a good puller. I was, I noticed a lot of when he hopped in there. I mean, when Bradshaw was still with us, I mean, he was, you know, I could tell he really was on his hip when, you know, they went down the road there. So, but that was pretty much my question there.
No problem. Appreciate
Thanks,
the
John.
Call.
Thanks, John.
No problem. And it's a good question because Locklear was very effective last year, but. Honestly, I don't think they have to worry about bringing him back now, considering you've added Pugh in the draft. You have a guy like Brewer Deal ended up hanging around. They didn't end up, you know, cutting him. I don't think you need a guy like Locklear this year.
And maybe Deal becomes that swing tackle.
Well, he is now.
The spot
sure.
that Locklear assumed last season.
And swing guard. I mean, for that matter, he can back up all those positions if he doesn't end up winning that starting
job. And with
job.
The way injuries play out in the NFL, that's not a bad situation to be in. I think that was a great point about Locklear because when he got hurt in that Redskins game, remember, no coincidence that the Giants struggled from that point on.
201-939-4513, final call of the show. Dave in Rochester. Dave, good morning.
Fellas, good morning. I'm all good. I got my Dottino on Friday. And Lance, you should have seen Johnny on Friday night talking about short arms, man. He almost blew a gasket.
Well, that happens quite often.
I got annoyed. Everyone kept calling 32-inch arms. Like, these fans are calling up, oh, he only has 32-inch arms. Like, these fans knew how long a tackle's arms was supposed to be before some dope wrote in the paper on Friday morning. Come on.
Yeah, he's like, back in 1982, no one talked about arms.
Yeah, it's true. No one in 82 did talk about arms. Could you play? You could play.
But I want to have a question. I was wondering if I could make a prediction. But this Nassib thing, a quarterback situation, which I thought was funny because it's weird because we talked about last week, Johnny, that Reese talked about rounds 2, 3, and 4 were usually the future of your team.
Right.
And then we jump forward to get a quarterback that many times during the press conference he said, we hope that we don't have to use him, which none of us fans do because of Eli, naturally. But it just seems like if you keep saying one thing and then saying, man, well, I hope we don't use him, it kind of seems like, is it a waste?
That's why I thought it was odd. Dave, I happen to agree with you. I think if you're going to draft a quote-unquote future replacement for Eli, it's too early to do it this year. Eli's going to be here for way too long for that guy to step in and play. And here's my question. Let's say, and you know, for the Giants' sake, hopefully it does, that Eli stays healthy over the next 3 years and plays 16 games like he has his entire career. Is Nassib ever going to play enough to garner the value and the impressions from other teams that he is a very valuable player, where the Giants could get something for him in a trade.
Right.
And you're not only using your four on him, you're using your six to move up in the fourth round to get him. I honestly right. thought it was a little premature, and I'm not saying it's a waste. I'm just not sure it's something that's going to really pay off for the Giants in the short or long term.
Well, Dave, I'll piggyback off of what John alluded to earlier in the show. Remember, Matt Schaub didn't play much. He got a decent deal. And let's not forget Matt Flynn. I know the Packers didn't wind up trading him, but he made out pretty nicely in free agency after not playing much.
They did have some regular season success, though.
To a very
limited but there
degree.
Was some. What happens if Nassib doesn't take one regular season snap for 2 years, and he's on a three-year right. deal being a fourth-round pick? Then what?
And Lance, I'm sorry, guys.
No, go ahead, Dave. I'm sorry.
And Lance, you said, I mean, David Carr is, and we haven't seen him play for a while, but he gives to the table. And Johnny said, well, that's a gimme. But, you know, he brings to the table something that a new quarterback can't.
Well, the scout element. I agree with you, Dave. I think that's why, if anything, they're going to keep three quarterbacks, as John mentioned earlier. Because why part ways with David Carr if Ryan Nassib is not ready to come in immediately and assume the role of a scout quarterback?
Well, and he knows the Giants system. To me, that's more important. You can bring Carr in, and you don't have to adjust what you do on offense at all. Maybe you run the ball a little more, but you don't have to limit the playbook. You don't have to change routes. You don't have to do any of that because David Carr's a veteran and knows the system so well. If year one, Nassib has to come in and play, you can't run Kevin Gilbride's full system. You got to dumb that thing down seriously in order to make it work for a rookie. So now you're looking at holding three quarterbacks this year. You lose a roster spot there, which you know Tom Coughlin values. I get it, and they got great value for the pick, and I love the fact that they got a player that's as good as Nassib is in the fourth round. And I want to make sure you guys understand that. It's a good value pick. I'm just not sure it's going to pay off for them based on how their current roster is organized.
Well, and maybe based on the chatter that they've been hearing around the league, and I know teams had an opportunity to draft Nassib before he even fell to the Giants, there's a lot of quarterback jobs that still very well could be open as we approach training camp and even after. So who's to say maybe a team that drafted one guy that did not pan out or had a veteran that got hurt doesn't approach the Giants in a couple of months and say, you know what, we passed on Nassib. What are you thinking? Would you like to move him now? It's like I said, it's a little too early to tell right now the Giants' rationale behind that pick. Maybe in a couple of months we get a little bit more clarity. But getting back to what John said, from a value perspective, I understand why the Giants did it. From just a roster perspective and immediate need, there's a lot of question marks to that answer.
I know. It just seems like if you're going to move up, there's got to be a guy with the same number that maybe say this is an opportunity where you can say, hey, let's address need instead of just a points perspective, I guess.
Well, listen, they definitely did not have the need for a quarterback at this point. And
right.
I think, as you mentioned, Dave, they're comfortable with Eli Manning. Jerry Reese said they hope they're never in a position where they have to play Nassib. And even if Eli Manning got hurt right now, I would make the argument David Carr is in a better position given the fact that he has some comfort level with the system to come in before Nassib would ever see the field. Maybe that could change how the depth chart plays out in the next couple of months. But quarterback was not an area of immediate need on Thursday when the Giants entered the draft. Based on how teams passed on Nassib, things changed as they entered Saturday because he was still on the board, and even Matt Barkley was still on the board too. But once Barkley went, as Jerry Reese said, they felt, wow, Nassib's still out there. Nobody's touched him. It's the fourth round. He was talked about being a first or a second round pick. It's too attractive right now to pass on him ourselves, and that's why they took him. So it's really, you got to look at that pick right now for pure value, not necessarily what he can do for the Giants at this point.
Appreciate the call, Dave.
All right, man. Talk to you fellas later.
Hey, all right, appreciate Dave. It, Dave. I want to go through some of these tweets. We've gotten some good ones in there. Sahin writes in, how about Hank the Tank? Little old school. Big Hank, big, you know.
I like that.
Big John, you know. Big Hank, I like that. Hank the Tank, I'll take that. That's pretty good. I like that. Seven with a T. They don't wear football equipment at the combine because the weight of the pads varies and you want results that aren't confusing. Well, then you have the guys wear the pads they're going to wear in the game, and then you time them and you see if they run. So I still like Lance's off-the-cuff idea, but whatever. How about this one? John Ottaviano writes in, hey, Schmelk, we got our daughter's name Geneva from hanging with Mr. Cooper. See what we started
classic.
Here?
I tell you. We need to have a pop culture segment every single show.
We don't, because clearly
it gets new conversation started.
Well, Len want to call, talk about the stars. He can talk about some of his reality TV shows. He'll get into that.
We covered Jennifer Lopez's new movie a couple of months ago, thanks to Len. Now we've got to hang it with Mr. Cooper reference.
How about like a weekly Paul Dettino movie review? I feel like that would be entertaining. Because he's so in his own planet, he probably doesn't understand what's going on out there.
Well, I was going to say, he has no time to watch a movie. The only film that he's watching is the 3-4 and 4-3 scheme,
The only things he's watching is Eric Herman trying to pancake people.
Exactly. And it's on a loop.
Marcus Erickson, maybe we can replace you can't teach height with you can't teach arm length. I like that one.
Very good. Marcus Erickson, always reliable for a new trend.
Well, we got people are on fire on Twitter.
We got
some good lines here. This is pretty good.
Classic. And then there was another recommendation for Nasib, I see here.
No, I didn't see that.
L-U-N-Y-G. I hear people calling Nasib Nas Hysteria.
Oh, that's not bad.
Well, give it because a lot of fans don't understand the pick at this point, so we can understand why there's a lot of chatter regarding that.
Stu DiMeglio writes in, stop getting the bottom of the barrel. Linebackers, no bully. They need to stop neglecting that position. And you know, they're going to have to find a playmaker there. But you're right, Lance. I think the bottom line here, and you hit it before perfectly, linebacker is not a huge position for them anymore. They think they can use safeties in that three safety package there. It's more of a passing league. They just don't value linebackers like they do corners, pass rushers, or even safeties.
That's why you need to take into consideration how the Giants utilize their personnel. And here's another thing. I went back and I looked at all of the linebackers taken. There were 25 linebackers drafted in all 7 rounds.
It's not a lot.
8 were taken in the first 2 rounds. That should be an example that there wasn't a lot of depth at this position compared to some of the other spots.
Even better. Out of those 25, how many were 3-4 outside linebacker pass rushers that really don't even count as a 4-3 linebacker that the Giants could use? For example, they might even have Barkevious Mingo listed as a linebacker on this list. Do they?
I don't see Mingo listed.
Jarvis Jones, though, is a guy that's a 3-4 outside linebacker that can only rush the passer. So you also have to look at it that way. Which one of these guys can even fit into the Giants scheme? Another thing you have to take into consideration.
Yeah, you can't just bring a linebacker in for the sake of bringing a linebacker in without looking at what the Giants utilize in terms of their scheme.
For example, Adrian Tracy drafted as a linebacker, but he's a pass rusher. He's a defensive end, so that's where you're going to use him. Mike Farmer wants us to just kick the San Francisco Giants off of our Twitter feed, by the way. I'm with him.
He may have to start that campaign. It's a two-man movement at this point.
Maybe we could talk to Michael Eisen. He's a big San Francisco Giant fan. Maybe he can talk to some people out there and get that done for us. I don't like it. I don't like it, Lance.
That's why I said we need to continue this conversation off the air and see if we can make something happen. And Giants fans need to take back their territory. How about that? If we could send that message out, Giants fans and San Francisco Giants fans need to have a little bit of a discussion on Twitter so we can get this all worked out before the season starts.
I can see that.
Because the playoffs, remember, in baseball, conflict with the start of the NFL season.
Oh, you're right.
We do not want
excellent point.
Anything to be misconstrued.
And I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but the Giants have been very good. They could very well be in
correct.
The playoffs, battling with the Dodgers for the lead in the NL.
Unless Pablo Sandoval is recruited to be a member of somebody's front seven, which could very well happen.
What was your overall take, Lance? Before we say goodbye, just give me your feel on what the Giants did with the draft.
Well, I think that they got a lot of versatility in their picks. It's not as if they went out and said, we're going to beef up in defensive linemen, although that has been a trend at times in previous years. So I think the guys that they brought in that second and third round could make an immediate impact. As far as Pugh is concerned, they had a need at offensive line. We talked about this on Wednesday when we were previewing the draft. I said that the guys that they were probably targeting weren't going to be there at 19. But that doesn't mean that they were supposed to overlook grabbing an offensive lineman. So I think that they had an immediate need. They addressed that by bringing in a right tackle and a player that perhaps could play center and guard in a pinch. I have no complaints with that. They got an extra defensive tackle. They got an extra defensive end. They did not necessarily address linebacker, but coming into this draft, I knew there wasn't a lot of depth there. You had to take into consideration the Giants system. So I know Giants fans are frustrated because it's not as if they brought in a lot of linebackers in free agency. So they didn't necessarily address, which was a need. But when you take into consideration the safeties that they have on this roster and that you very rarely see 3 linebackers on the field for every single defensive down, it's hard to get all worked up at it up on that topic at this point. I think let's see what pans out during training camp. And let's see if a guy like Kiwanuka or Tracy maybe continue to get reps at that linebacker spot. Maybe they are not going to become full-time defensive linemen given the depth that you have in other areas.
And I'll say this. This is my basic take here. And this should be no surprise. It's exactly what I said heading into this draft. Did the Giants have a need a linebacker? Sure. Did I think there was a player valued enough to pick with your first-round pick a linebacker? No. I think the Giants saw that as well. This was a big boy draft, as Jerry Reese put the other day. And the Giants had a need on the offensive line. And last year on defense, they didn't rush the passer well. And one of the big reasons they didn't rush the passer well is because they were never in third and long because they couldn't stop the run. And the Giants addressed those needs. They brought in big John Hankins, Hank the Tank. I like that one. I'm going to stick with that, I think, to stop the run. And then you bring in a kid that's had 27 sacks in 3 years in college football to help the pass rush in the third round. I think it makes perfect sense. Do they have to now address the linebacker with undrafted free agents and maybe regular free agency to fill out the roster and get more depth there? Certainly, and they'll do that. But I'd rather have the very good player defensive tackle, the good player defensive end, than draft the average guy linebacker just because you need the average guy. You want playmakers. And if there's not a playmaker there, a linebacker, you don't take one. They got a playmaker, a defensive tackle. They clearly have a guy that can make big plays at defensive end. They got an offensive lineman that I think is reliable. You know exactly what you're getting, and you can plug him in right away to play. And then they got a quarterback with a second-round grade in the fourth round. I'm still a little confused by it, to be honest with you. That being said, you can't argue with the value the Giants got here. And besides linebacker, I think they filled three of their very, very big needs heading into this draft. I'm pleased with it.
Giants were 25th against the run last season. Part of stopping the run is to bring in big bodies in your front four. And I think they addressed that in the draft. They addressed that in free agency. In order to get better against the run, the defensive tackles are going to have to make some noise earlier on this season. You don't want to have to rely on your second layer of defense, which is primarily your linebacker. So if they could get better, more beefy in the front four, that should, in essence, help them be better in stopping the run heading into next season.
Lance, excellent work as always, my friend. Always fun to chat with you, and the draft is over with. Now we get to move on to the offseason, and the OTAs are here. Mini camp is just over a month away, and then training camp is about 3 months away. It's a lot of fun.
There will be plenty of other storylines to tackle in the weeks coming.
And everybody, thanks for joining us on Big Blue Kickoff Live on Giants.com every weekday morning at 10 o'clock on Giants.com. Hashtag Giants Chat, of course, on your Giants mobile app as well. It's all brought to you by Angie Mark. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow morning, same time, same place. Where? Right here, Giants.com.